Hey everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. Thanks for joining us tonight. And we've got another great program. As we finish up this month, we're talking about summer learning, and we've covered a lot of different subjects, but tonight we're going to talk about hands-on STEM learning. And our guest is Lisa Berginger with Cubits Toys. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here too. So just so our audience knows, we are Sped Homeschool Conversations. So we are sponsored by Sped Homeschool, which is a nonprofit that helps parents homeschool children who have special educational needs. And hands-on learning is a great way to engage kids who often stumble with books. And so so I'm excited that we're going to talk about some out-of-the-box things. And you shared some pictures with me that we're going to share tonight with our audience that even made me, who has been homeschooling out of the box for 17 years, go, that's really cool. So I'm excited to share just what, you know, you have to share. And like you said, you go into schools and kids share these ideas with you. And so you have you've been taught by the masses,
right? Exactly.
Creative minds,
right, and the best teachers. Yeah.
So that's exciting. For our audience who's with us live tonight, just know that you can comment, you can ask questions as we go along. Just put them in the feed where you're watching, and we'll try to get those questions answered as we're going through our discussion tonight. So Lisa, we would just like to get to know you a little bit about your background, Cubits Toys, how that came about, and I even found out as we were discussing that you even homeschooled for a while. So tell us a little bit about yourself as we get started in this discussion about hands-on STEM learning.
Okay, well, let's see. My name is Lisa, as you know, and I have three children, and I have homeschooled for a couple of years, and I really loved it. And when the kids were back in regular school, my husband and I would volunteer. And at the time, we were living in California, and because of the budget cuts, they were getting rid of, unfortunately, art and music and a few other wonderful electives. So we would come in and volunteer our time to try to teach them, you know, either the art or the music. And at the time, my husband, Mark, who is the inventor of Cubits Toy, he had brought in this kind of modular form toy for the kids to maybe try in elementary school out. Well, it wasn't a toy or anything at the time. It was just something artsy, and we thought they'll play with it and build with it. And they seemed to love it. And then he got the idea, and we talked about it, both of us, that, hey, maybe we should do something with this, go a step further and turn it into a toy. So that's how, like, Cubits Toy came about. I mean, it took years, and you have to do prototypes, and then you have to, and he made it all in the computer, and then you tested, and finally it became a toy, and we've been working with Cubits Toy for the last 10 years.
That's exciting. Yeah. So what do you like most about the work that you do? Because I know you do a lot of, like, get out in the community type thing. So what's your favorite?
I do. Well, I love children. And so I love going to, say we go to libraries, and or we'll go to classrooms or camps or children's museums. And we will do like a little presentation. We volunteer our time, my husband and I, and we will bring like a PowerPoint presentation, and we will teach the kids all about construction toys, say from the 1800s all the way up. And then we talk about scientists, and we talk about, if we're in a library, we will kind of say to the librarian, give me all these books that relate to engineering and science and math. So we tell the kids, hey, this is great. You could read and learn so much, not only playing with this toy, but you could learn so much about every aspect of it just from even reading about it. And then we bring our toy out and we let the kids create. And I think that's my favorite part, because you're seeing the kids and they get so excited even before you give out the pieces and say, because it's an open-ended toy. And so they use their imagination for a lot of the things. And it's just, they get so excited. And then my best part too is after they've all made things, I'll go around to each child and I'll say, well, tell me your name and what have you made? And they'll stand up and this is what they made, and it's their own creation, and they're so proud of it too. And they love showing it off, and it's could be, maybe you didn't think it was a car, but to them it is, you know. And then that's what I love the best part, is that the kids get so excited, and it's all there's no like instructions that they have to follow, so they don't get frustrated. Right. And they don't get upset, and because there's nothing really to get upset about, you know, it's your own thing. There's no right or wrong. So I think that's my favorite part when I go out and work with them. Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, you're incorporating different, not even just the STEM courses, but further beyond that. And I think we often forget that we can incorporate almost every subject that we call school into learning with one object. It's just how we perceive, like you said, you took it out of history. How have, you know, these things been used in history? How, you know, how do they relate to literature and books and, you know, all those things? We take the time to really think outside of, you know, just this one piece, then we can do a lot. And I love the open-ended part of construction for kids too. Too often we're so stuck with the instructions. Well, we have to learn how to follow instructions. We have to be able to put those shelves together from China, right?
Right.
Although I saw,
and that's important. You know, you want to know how to do instructions. That is so important too. But then you don't want to get frustrated, and you don't want to get upset, and you know, and things, and you want to enjoy what you're doing. You know,
right? Exactly. And that's that inventive mind. You can't. That's not something you can learn in a book. You have to give children the opportunity to be inventive, so that they are encouraged to do it more. And and I think the more you do that for kids and engage them in those open-ended type activities, definitely they're going to pursue that more, because they're going to see, like you said, with the, you know, the children you interview, they see the reward of this is mine. Isn't something I copied of anybody else's. You know, I own this.
They're an individual. Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting too, a lot of times if we'll do, say, libraries, the parents are with them, and then the parents get to create with them. So you have that special time and that bonding of the parent or the grandparent or the sister or the brother. And it's like teamwork. And that's some of the things we do too. Like if we went to a camp or something, and we would have them set up, and like the small group, the young kids, they can make, like, say, a little piece, because they're, you know, a little shape. And then the next group of age groups make another type, and the third, and then they all put it together. So we're teaching them also teamwork, and we'll do that a lot too. And they love that. And then the big kids are working with the little kids, and everybody works together, and they all have their special little tasks that they have to do.
That's really cool. Yeah. Never even thought about doing something like that. A whole team family activity. I mean, we've done like family building, but everybody does their own little thing. But if we incorporated it all into one big piece. That's
yeah, really we've done that. Like, you'll make a big bridge together, and everyone has their little thing what they have to do, and then all of a sudden you'll get a bridge or a tower, and then you've got the finished product, and everyone has participated in it. Yeah.
Very cool. So as we're diving into this, most people probably know what STEM is, but it's used so often, I think we kind of forget too what STEM stands for, why we have such a focus on it, and maybe just a little bit about, I guess, all the little aspects of what, I guess, schools and educators put into this word STEM, that is basically an acronym for a whole bunch of stuff. So can you explain to us just a little bit about that, as well as, you know, just... I can't your own perspective on STEM too.
Right. Like, well, with the STEM, like, as far as our toy relating to STEM, like the science part, like the S part of STEM. I mean, like the science, we have find that our toy can make a virus, and a virus is a certain shape, and we find our toy can make that shape. So, that's been very helpful. Like the T is technology. Now, the latest thing my husband is working on right now, and we're working together, is he's trying, there's a certain shape, and he's working with a radio, like a transistor radio, and making this shape, and they have the wire go around the certain shape of our qubits. And it seems we've been testing it that he can get certain stations that are far away, but that they'll come in clear. So that's one of our things we've been working on. We're always trying new things, and that's what I think you have to do. You can't just do one little thing. You have to always expand it. And like, as far as math, most of our pieces are geometric. So you could do so many different shapes, and I find that helps. Like, so much, because if you know you're like compared to nature or something, like everything in nature is triangular. And so, if the kids learn, compare what they're building to what's out there, and say they go outside and they see a building or they're even the school or their house or something, and then they realize that so many things are made for these basic shapes. Like in the winter time, we'll always have them make like snowflakes. Because of course, no two snowflakes are the same. But then, our toy can make snowflakes, and it just really shows, and kind of teaches them, the basics. So, but makerspace is very important in these days, in all over. Even libraries are expanding with makerspace, and that is so popular. And they just want to have a place where kids can just sit down and learn. And just work kind of sometimes on their own, and like a little quiet time where there's no interruptions. And so STEM has just become so popular, for years. And we're so blessed that our toy fits into that the kids and the teachers can really learn a lot from it.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you bring into the discussion that everything has a geometric shape. Oftentimes we don't look at nature as being one of those things that's geometric until you get down, maybe to the really small levels, but yet it is. And when you create things with a toy similar to yours that is based off of that natural structure, then you see it instantly instead of somebody saying, trying to point it out to you. I mean, the kids are basically building it and proving the geometric, I guess, hypotheses or, the, what do you call them? I forget. But when you work out geometry and you make a proof. So because we did hands-on geometry with my kids, and I hated geometry, but I loved teaching them geometry when we did paper folding and showed that one side was equal to the other. Well, you can't dispute it when it's like right in front of you, and it's like, oh,
Exactly.
yeah,
I think
it is
you're right.
true.
Yeah, like hands-on and manipulatives are so important, and I see that in all the classrooms and all over. And it's so important. I think that children can understand it better rather than maybe just seeing on a chalkboard or seeing it in a book. And I wish they would have had that, because math was not my best or favorite subject when I was growing up. Yeah, but if you could see it and you could build it and you could actually, I think that you understand it, better.
You do, yeah. It goes into a whole different part of your memory bank where you store it. I remember teaching my son even calculus, and I went through all the calculus in college and never understood it the way he did because I taught it to him analytically versus theoretically. And we were graphing charts. I was like, so that's what I was doing. I didn't never associate it with a graph. But his grasp on math was so much better in college because he had that connection to this is basically just a wave.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the more you can build those things into your child's learning as a base, the better off they're going to be able to build on that later on as they get into the more of the theoretical type things. Mm-hmm. So this whole STEM push, you know, it really started because we didn't want to lose, you know, the space race, and we wanted mm-hmm. to have more women in the engineering and all of this. And so we started boosting, you know, the science and technology, engineering and math. And like you said, unfortunately, sometimes the arts and all that got pushed out.
Right.
But thankfully that's making a little bit of a comeback.
Yes, for sure. I'm so happy to see that. Right.
But yeah, there is a place for all these things, especially now that we're dealing with more kids who have dysgraphia and dyscalculia, and they're not writing down as much, and their math seems so abstract to them because of the numbers. If you can give them something in their hands that's not numbers, but they're still learning to process those things as they're working with something hands-on.
And then the large pieces too. They're not small, so they're large pieces, which we thought would be very helpful, you know, to all ages, to all types, for adults too. I mean, we have adults that play with this toy as well. We've got stroke victims, and I have people that are from occupational therapists will work with the children because, you know, there's so many other outlets. It's not just for school or, you know, or just like young kids. So this is like for all ages because it's just these days you just need things that are manipulatives, and it's really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So let's dive into some examples. We've got lots of pictures. I'm going to try my best to make it look good on the screen, but I told everybody last week, this was my second week now working on this beta version, and it's going live tomorrow. So I'm trying my best. So I'm just going to have you up. If you can, off of memory, tell me which pictures you want to put up and talk about. And then we can just highlight how this, you know, what we're seeing is showing us a different way to look at STEM learning through some hands-on construction. And really, there's so many things that I was telling one friend, she goes, I don't know if I can afford a new toy. And I said, just watch what Lisa's going to share with you. If you can just implement with just what you have around your house, definitely this is it's worth seeing because it is so creative. I just have to say that again.
Well, good. I'm glad. Well, one thing, if you wanted to find, it was the bird feeder that we had made with Cubits, and that was lots of fun too. Making it, and then of course seeing that the birds just love it.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Is that the one with the squirrel in it?
Well, you could use that one too. The squirrel, actually, it wasn't meant for a squirrel, but they love it too.
Okay, I found the squirrel. I'm gonna see if I can find the bird feeder. Nope.
If not, you could put up the squirrel one. That one's just good too.
All right, so let's put this one up.
Okay, there it goes. Yeah, so as you could see, that was our sphere shape, and we keep improving the way we are making our bird feeder, but that one is like a little tray that I think you can get in the dollar store or something, and after we made the Cubits, we just put that little tray in there, and of course put bird seed in there, and then we hung it from like a fish hook, and we just put it in our tree. And so he got in there, but mostly the birds fly in there, and but they're hungry too. So that was a very good thing to see, that you could just do so much more with it, you know, and that was lots of fun. And another thing we did was with our plant. Do you have like the tomato plant picture?
Yes, I do. Is that the one with you standing next to it?
Probably. I guess there's a couple of them. Yeah, that'll do. That one will be fine.
I'm going to put that up.
So this was actually in our backyard when, and this is a tomato plant, and we had grown the tomato plant, and then when it started growing, we started building the cubits. It's almost like a cylinder around it. And you could see that the plant kind of went towards the cubits. So it kind of grew so nicely, and it just followed the shape of it. Mm-hmm. And so that was lots of fun, too, to do that. And then that's another one. Yeah, that's the other one. And it really helps them. We're doing right now one we have in our yard. It's we have like a little peas, snow peas. And it's almost like a house shape, because you can do any shape you want. There's no right or wrong for any of these things. And it's really helping. Like, it's like vines almost, but you're making it with the cubits. And then the peas are just, you know, going in all directions.
Wow.
So, we found those are lots of fun too. We've made, I don't know if you have, there's a rover. It's like a car rover. Oh, I might have set you that picture.
Yeah, let me pull some of these down. And then we'll, is that the one that's going through the water?
Yes. Yeah. That one we happened, yeah. So that's interesting too. As you can see in the tires, those are sink drains made like your little hubcaps. Uh-huh. And then the other is like PCV, just some kind of tubing to put through. But and then what we did is, after we made all the parts, we attached a dog leash. And it's one of those retractable dog leashes. So the kids love it after they build it. I mean, then they can actually play with it. And so then they pull it all over town. And a lot of times we'll bring it to some events. And they just have like the best time doing that. So a lot of things that you can make, you could actually play with, like if you made a sphere, or you made, you could just play catch with it. Or we had this one thing we made, and it was all different colors. And it, and then we got some bowling pins, and we rolled it. And so you can sometimes incorporate a lot of these toys into other things and make games. And, you know, so it's not just like a toy you're building and then that's it, you know, and you can still have lots of fun with it. Yeah.
And when I'm looking at this, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so you didn't just have the toys. You took a lot of like household things, incorporated them in there. And then also to understand the engineering behind how the axles would have to move so that the car could move on an even field, and how they would
stay turn. Safe.
And so you're working out a lot of different things here. So yeah, it's definitely more than just constructing. You're going beyond that.
Right. And we find that our toys can sometimes go with other toys. Like we had made a track once for like the Hot Wheel cars, and we took their little track and we worked it with our toy. And so sometimes you could take this and you could incorporate it, some things that you might have at home, you know? So it's kind of like 101 uses, actually. This, it's like, we always say it's the ages like 4 to 104, and then it's just, you can make anything, you know, there's nothing that you can't do. And we're learning that, as I say, from children, we learn it from ourselves. We just, it's amazing the things you can build with it.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay had made a comment. She said that cubits are great for gardening, which you had shown. And I used to have a huge garden, and I remember building the structures to hold up my 70 tomato plants. And they just loved, if you had the structure, man, did they grow well, you know?
Isn't that something? They like following something, you know.
And those things that you buy at the store, they're so cumbersome. I suppose you can take these apart around the plant instead of having to like uproot everything while you're taking them out.
Right. And they're so easy to take, and they snap on and snap off. So it's so easy when you're creating things, whether it's a plant or anything, it's just so easy to take on and take off. Yeah.
And more encouraging for the child who wants to build things, but maybe says, I don't really want a garden, Mom.
Right.
Well, let's grow a plant in it.
Yes, exactly. Because I'll have a lot of teachers that want to. Right, that want to do something for science, and that might be something that they could incorporate, you know, for science, or, you know, so any subject.
Right, exactly. So just combining their love of constructing and moving it into some other areas that they may not always, you know, say, oh, that looks like fun, or want to do that.
And we find that toys have influence. My husband said when he decided to invent qubits that he was, or even to be an architect, he was influenced by Lincoln Logs. And that made him want to be an architect and build. And a lot of like famous people, that's why we talk about that when we go to see some schools, like Frank Lloyd Wright, his mother had brought him blocks in the 1800s, like the late 1800s of the World's Fair. And that he believed that had helped him and influenced him to be a great architect. So a lot of toys can, you know, influence people, to, of course, in the future, maybe to be a scientist or an engineer or an architect or anything, you know, because it's just, it does have a lot of influence on them.
It does. And it creates those good memories that you want to continue going as you get older. And, you know, it's it's just part of your upbringing. I can see that really translating to, you know, a desire to do that further. It just feels like your childhood, you're playing, you know, you're not working.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Definitely. So, all right. So what else should I bring up?
I'm trying to remember what other pictures I sent you. You can put up any pictures and I'll talk about them.
This little toggle bar down on the bottom is, oh, here's another plant too. I don't know which, if that was.
Oh yes. Okay. Yeah. No, that actually was some kind of flower, I think, that we put in there too with the flower pot. And yeah, I think that was last year that we did that. And they still grow so well. Yeah. And that was another shape, another crisscross type of shape. And they bend. The qubits bend, so it makes it easy to make these shapes.
Right. It's not so rigid and it doesn't get so heavy.
Right. So it makes it easy, you know, to work with it. Yeah. It's very flexible.
Yeah. So, boy, I'm having a hard time with this thing. I have to scroll back and forth. That is another thing I'll talk about tomorrow while I'm doing this demo. So here we have art.
Yes. Right. And so that's true. It, like, you could do like STEAM, which is the art part of like STEM, and that's STEAM, you know, so you've got art in there. And so a lot of the art teachers like it too, because it is kind of an artsy kind of creativity toy. And here was the American flag that we had made. And so that was lots of fun to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of endless what you can create, and it's all up to you. You know.
Right. Yeah. We often think of art, you know, when we have to have paper and pencil or those types of things. But
exactly.
But art involves a lot of math and a lot of planning, more so than we often think about. I mean, just looking at this picture here, we have to think, you know, somebody sat down and figured out, okay, I want a line here, but then I want, you know, this space here. And this is how I have to work these pieces in to make sure the colors in the right place. And I just remember sitting in, my daughter is very into art, and we took our kids to Rome a couple of years ago, and she's a very detail oriented person. And she was sitting in this cathedral that was so elaborate and staring at the ceiling. And she made the comment to me, she goes, "Mom, do you know that every single one of those little squares on the ceiling has a different flower in it?" I was like, nobody looks at the ceiling, but the artist who created that purposefully did that as an expression.
And would hope that somebody would recognize it. And so that was great.
Yeah. And so, building, you know, art is architectural type of art is something we often don't think about when we think of art. We think of like watercolor, you know, drawing.
Right. Exactly. But there's another type. Yeah. Because then you're learning about, symmetry, and then you're learning about, you know, creating, but then also what goes with what, and, you know, just to all put it together.
Yeah, definitely. Or just balance, because if you don't make it even, it's not going to stand up.
Right, exactly. You have to get that base and everything. Yeah, it's funny. And a lot of times, like, maybe the kids will look at the two, there's only actually two pieces. I mean, that's all we have is two pieces, and they're all the same, but there's just two. One's a cubits and one's a bridge. But a lot of times maybe a child would put it in the wrong way, but then they'll kind of figure it out. Hey, this isn't right. And this isn't going to work. So I better turn it the other way or something, you know, to make it work better.
So yeah, they're constantly thinking about, you know,
right, and they always get quiet time. Like when we'll go to any of the places, and all of a sudden the room is like so quiet because they just have to, they're concentrating so hard, and right. That's amazing to see. There's no yelling. There's no and people, the kids are sharing with each other because they, a lot of times they want to build together, and like I said, teamwork, and they love doing that. Yeah.
Very cool. So here's a complex.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah. That was one of the classrooms. One of the little boys just made that. And he was probably, we probably said, okay, stand up and tell us what you made. And he probably said, yeah, I made this. Yeah. That's quite complex star. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So let me see what else I can find here. I've got, we've got another cart.
Oh yeah, right, yeah, and so like I say, they love it. Yeah, that was at a maker's fair I think we had gone to, and we brought it with us, a couple of them, and they had the best time. The kids, they were just going all over the. It was a nice big grassy area where mm-hmm. we were, and they were just pulling it all over, and they just had so much fun, you know.
So can you tell our audience, maybe some of them don't even know what a maker's fair is. What is that?
Yeah, the maker's fair, and we've been to a few of them, is like people will come with their inventions, and whether it's, you know, even simple little inventions, and a lot of times kids have them too. Mm-hmm. And you go and you see what's out there and what people have made, mm-hmm. and you get to try them. And there was one we went to recently, and it was from like a radio school that they had, and it was just things with different wires, and they were showing what they've made, and you could, you know, it's very educational to go to a maker's fair if you ever have one in your town or a town, and just to see what's out there. And then it's very hands-on, and all these maker fairs, so you just learn and you get to touch and you get to play with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure if you probably look online you can find those. And I know they have maker spaces too. I had heard about those a couple years ago, that there's just like a place where people gather to make things together, and then they have equipment that you can make inventions, or 3D printers, and you know, those types of things.
Yes,
and you
can, those are very popular too. They'll have the 3D printers at these shows too, and then you could see what they've made, and it's just very wonderful learning experience to go to them.
Right. Yeah, and it doesn't.
So we had participated in a couple of them, and it was lots of fun. And you know, you meet so many different people, and kids, and adults, and you get feedback, and that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good way to do that. I had never heard of the Maker's Fair. I've heard of the Maker Spaces before, but
makes
a lot of sense that that people would want to get together and share some of those, the things that they're doing. Just, you know, even to build idea off an idea, you know, like what you're doing. You know, when you bring things into the schools and you give parents ideas, you're sparking somebody else's creativity for them to then take that, you know, onto a different level where you would have never taken it, you know? And so, and like you were saying, you know, we talked about earlier too, is that, you know, you, a lot of these ideas, the kids, you know, where, when you go to the schools, that they're sharing them with you. And
it's amazing. And you always say, yeah, I never knew that you could do that and stuff. And they're wonderful. I mean, because everybody has such a wonderful imagination everywhere, you know, in all ages. So it's quite a learning experience for us as well. Yeah, that's why we love it so much. Yeah, we look forward to doing it. Yeah.
I think we sometimes get stuck to that. We think, well, everything's been made by this time. You know, we've run out of ideas. But
yeah.
Almost open a door when you allow children to, you know, to make something never been made before, that
right.
they're are more things out there. If you just
It's so funny when they'll see you walking in. Well, a lot of times we'll bring the things that we've made as well, and they're like, whoa, and you know, and they're so eager to be able to put these things together, and they'll say, hey, can you show me? And do have like this one little page of shapes that go with our toy, and it's just like your basic shapes, maybe your triangles and everything. And we always say, well, you know, if you could put this is like your building blocks. And a lot of times they'll see all the things and they'll say, hey, could you help me make this? And, you know, and we'll sit down with them and we'll show them how you can, you know, start it off. And then, you know, sometimes they don't even need our help after one or two times.
Yeah, they'll go beyond that. And it's good that you just give them the basics.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't want to make it too complex that they get so involved. And then it's all about, you know, just the step-by-step process. But it's
right. Or help me what to do or something.
Right.
And it's very easy. Even they could just line their pieces up with this. Mm-hmm. And then they could actually make them just by lining it up, and they'll teach themselves how to do it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, if they wanted to do this, they don't even have to. It's there if they want it. A lot of times they'll just go doing their own thing, and that's fine too, you know.
Right. You see those kids that are rule followers and the ones that want to break the rules and do everything on their own anyways and not follow any directions.
and that's fine, because that's why we say it's an open-ended toy and there's no right or wrong. And so whatever they do is great, and they're learning from it and they're being creative.
Right. Yeah. And that's nice, because when oftentimes, especially for the kids in, you know, in our community, they're told you're not going fast enough. You're not doing it the right way. You're not, you know, and so to have an open-ended activity that says, you know, well,
right.
It's just whatever you make of it.
And it's great. And you did a great job, and it's wonderful, and feel proud of yourself. And it makes you feel, you want that self-esteem. That's so important.
Definitely. So let's see, I'm going to throw up another picture here. It looks like there's some kids.
That was at a local library. We had gone there. I'm sitting over there. I don't know if you could see me over there. I'm sitting up there. And we had brought our tractor, which is also another thing that you can pull. And then we give the kids, they could build this on the floor. They could build this at a table. You could even take it outside. We've taken it at the beach. So it's kind of a thing that it could go anywhere with you. We even have little backpacks that come with one of our kits that they could take it if they want to take it on an airplane. We've donated every year. One of my friends, she will take them to the hospital. Her daughter is in remission, thank God, right now. But she will take them to the hospital for the cancer patients, for the children. And it's a wonderful toy, because they can just play with it in their bed. You know, they'll take it out of the little container or plastic. Right. And it's big pieces. And so then we usually will donate it quite a bit to her. And then she will go right before Christmas and she will give it to all the children. And we've been doing that for a couple of years. And she said they just love it. And it makes us feel good. It makes them feel good. So, so this was at the library and one of the libraries. And then we also like placed all the books over there. And then we said to the kids, hey, you know, if you want to sit and play with it, if you want to stand, if you want to go at the table. And so wherever they wanted to, they just started building.
Fun. Yeah, because you don't have to sit at a table to do that. Lots of kids learn better when they're upside down or on the floor.
Yeah,
and
right. Well, that's good, you know, and it's a thing that you could take anywhere you want. People have taken them in the car. I have pictures where the kids are building it while they're dry, you know, in their little seatbelt, and they're making things, or they're on an airplane and they have that little table that comes down and they'll take it with them and they'll be building on at the table. Yeah.
I found another squirrel picture. I don't know if I have the bird one. I must have.
Oh, okay. Maybe not. Oh, yeah. There's a – yeah, those squirrels still sure love that food. Yeah. And they're very acrobatic. You know, you'll see them. They'll be jumping from the trees, and they hang on to this thing, get their food. Then sometimes they'll come down, or they'll just eat it while they're up there. And we've got quite a few of those in a different shape, because you can make them any shape you want. And now what we're doing is we're making making one that has almost like a, and we got it at the dollar store. It's like a plate. So it's a plate on top, a plate on the bottom. So like on the top, if it rains, because otherwise all the bird food, you know, gets wet. Everything. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And then it's soggy or moldy. So this way they can fly in there and then it stays dry. And they still get their stuff. And then we've made it so many different shapes. So that's just one shape, but you can make any shape you want to make your bird feeder.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of nice that it's not a typical structured bird feeder. But I would assume the colors attract the birds anyways.
They do. They do. There was a study that the birds likes the different colors. You know, we read about it, and they gravitate for that. And obviously, I guess the squirrels like the colors too.
Yeah, I guess they're not colorblind.
Yeah, right.
So we talked a little bit about
because I'll sit on my patio and I'll watch, and it's amazing. You watch after you have the bird made this, and you have the cardinals come and the robins and the sparrows, and it's just so beautiful. I get a kick out of just seeing all the birds and the beautiful birds that just come to this, you know.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a memory for me, because my daughter for so long wanted to start drawing birds, and she's like, well, how do I get a picture of a bird? They don't stick around for any length of time. And I'm thinking, well, if you want to draw a bird, you'd have to build something to attract them. And
right. So here's your thing. Yeah. they come and go all day long. As soon as the sun comes up, you hear them and they'll sing and they'll, you know, and they really seem to love it. You know, I mean, they look forward. We don't have just one in my yard. I have like, I don't know, five or six of them, all different shapes. They're all hanging from the fish line or whatever you want to use. And they just love it. And sometimes they'll twirl. And they don't. Birds don't seem to mind. You think, well, God, they're twirly and they're going to get dizzy, but they don't seem to mind it.
Oh, that's funny. So we were talking a bit about shapes and geometry. I found a couple pictures here that have some really good examples of that.
Yeah. Now that one is, I can never pronounce that one. That's our kind of, how do you pronounce that one more? Icasa is the shape of that one.
How many sides is that?
That is, how many sides is that? 20 sides.
20 sides. Wow.
And that you can make of it with the toy. Yeah.
Yeah. So you build each of the sides.
And after she made it.
They go together. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like all triangular, right? And then you just attach them, all the triangles together and everything. And we use, for this particular one, we had used zip ties. So then they will stay together, and then you could actually keep it for a while or play with it or do something. And then when you want to take it apart, you would just cut off the zip ties. But we get our zip ties, say, at Home Depot or something. You know, you can get them.
A bag of 100 of them.
Right. Right.
We have them everywhere.
Yeah, right. And
so here's some ones that you had.
Right, that was our bulletin board that we have in my home, and it's just a lot of the different shapes. We also had made a drone. We had taken the regular drone, and then we used our qubits to make other parts to it. And actually, we got it to fly. You know, we had a controller, and this thing is like one of the houses up there. And then the other things are just different shapes. Here's one of our spears. And it's just endless. Yeah. That one's like a flower shape. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have a lot of different colors because we find that kids like colors, you know. So we have like, I think about 7 or 8 different colors in all our toys and kits. And and they're bright colors. And so that makes, you know, kids kind of happy to work with bright colors. And, you know, we try to pick those things that make you feel good, you know, type of colors.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you got to explain this picture here to me.
Okay. Well, this actually, my husband had gone to, this was in Orlando, and they have them in different places too. It's called iFly. And so we had brought our qubits there. And we asked the gentleman who flies in this this thing if he would take it. And he did. And it proved that it could just take off. And that was,
wow.
So that So that was very fun. It was like a little experiment. And we said, would you mind doing it? And he said, no. And then we have it also as a video on my, I think on our website or something. So you can see it and as it worked. And so that was kind of fun.
Cool. Well, and it proves the point. You're still experimenting with something that you invented, you know, and that just proves that, you know, it does have endless capability. Still don't even know its limits.
Exactly. And that's what's fun because, I mean, like I say, we've been doing this for 10 years and we keep coming up with all new things and it's lots of fun. And you say, wow, I didn't realize this toy can do this. And now, like I said, we're working with this radio thing. And so it's, that's what's amazing. It doesn't do just one thing. It does, it's endless. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And things we don't even know yet what it can do probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't find the picture here. I know I saw it in your email, but I'm not finding it. It was a huge tower.
Okay. Yeah. No, we did that at a school. It was a STEM academy, and it was fifth and sixth graders, and that's what they had wanted to do. So they actually the kids put it together with the teacher.
Okay.
And we went there. It was like Dr. Seuss night or something. And it was a special. And we watched them build it. And it was, I think, 17 feet tall. And it was in the cafeteria. it was in the cafeteria. And it reached the record. I mean, it built it. It was taller than, I guess it was Lincoln. Was it Lincoln Logs? Yeah, it beat their record. And so it was amazing. And the kids had such a great time putting this together. And then all the parents were there for this open night of the Dr. Seuss. So they watched all these kids do this and they watched their own kids. And so it was very special and they got a kick out of it. And so we let them, you know, have it and borrow it and have a good time with it. They just wanted to prove that they could do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good team building too. When you're working with a group of people, you have a common goal and you don't know. I mean, there's no plans, you know, it's not like you're building a house that, you know, some architect has drawn out for you. It's like, we've got to all work together. We got to put our minds together. And what a great job skill that you're teaching these kids. That and they're figuring it out. How do I work with other people? How do I share my ideas? How do I accept their ideas? You know, last week we were just talking on relational skills and I'm thinking this goes, you know, beyond STEM learning. We can use building toys to build relationships too.
Right, right. I mean, I've had some teachers who have said, okay, it's the first day of school. When we come back, what can I do to the first day of school, you know, to get kids to know each other? And then I always say, well, you could, if you want, maybe do the team building with qubits because you are working together, you're getting to know each other. Here, there's children that may have never, you know, never worked, never met each other. The teacher doesn't even know these kids. Yeah. And so that's lots of fun, too, because it's more than just building and you're building relationships and everything and you're trying to help each other. And it really helps. So a lot of the teachers like that idea. They say, hey, that's a great idea. We'll do that the first day of school because it's almost like an icebreaker too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I can even see that at like homeschool co-ops using that and
right. Exactly.
Ways to build bridges and
right. I homeschooled them. We would take it to the parks, the qubits, and then the kids would all build together the things. And, you know, they built it in the park so you could all work together. It doesn't have to be just a home. And we used to do that with the homeschool, one of our trips. Yeah.
So I'm assuming they're washable.
Yes, they are. They are. They're very good. You can put them in the upper level of the dishwasher.
Oh. That's
and
amazing.
They all, we've done it and we know they don't melt, they don't shrink, they don't do anything, they survive. And at least you know they're very clean. And they're made of a polyurethane, which is like a food plastic. So if a child puts it in their mouth, they're very safe and they're not a choking hazard, which is wonderful because we didn't want anything small. We didn't want it to be a choking, you know, we want to leave the young kids. I remember when my kids would play with some toys, I would have to shut the door because the younger one couldn't go in because I was so scared they were going to swallow the toy or injure themselves. So this is nice. All ages can play with them. And and they're made like of a food plastic, which is almost like a Tupperware or Rubbermaid. So it is very safe. We make it at a very high quality, and we make it here in North Carolina because we want to make things in the United States. That is so important to us, and especially, and we live here in North Carolina, so it's so wonderful that we make it ourselves and that we know that everything is made in the USA.
Yeah. So I'm going to put up your website so people can find you here. I can figure out how to do that. There we go.
There you go.
So cubitstoy.com.
Right.
So we're kind of wrapping up our time right now. I'd just like you to share anything else about your company and how people can find you. You're in North Carolina.
We're North Carolina, right. And you could find us on our website. We're also on Amazon. And if you just went Cubit's Toy, you could find it on Amazon. And we're not in stores because stores are like a lot about packaging and ours is not about packaging. And you're going to look and you're going to just say, okay, this looks nice. But this way we deal so much with most of our customers are schools and libraries and camps and museums. And then, we'll have everyday. Right. And we will do some local shows every so often. I will do some, like school shows, and then we will go to places in within an hour and a half. And the kids get to actually go play with these things, and they'll go to our table and we interact with them, and they get to build, and we bring things. And so, we just get to know people, get to see, we get feedback from them and say, hey, this works, this doesn't work, what they like, what they don't like. And, so that's been very helpful.
You're interacting with the customer and that.
Right. And that's so important. Yeah. I love doing that. And, all ages and all types. I've had kids that, have disabilities, but they can put it together and they feel so good that they can do that. And they feel so proud of themselves, it's great. It makes you feel good.
It does. Yeah. You're touching the lives of many people and through something that's so fun.
Right.
And they just have the ability to express themselves.
Right.
And they don't even need to talk. That's one thing that oftentimes, we have kids that are nonverbal and that have speech issues, and they have a hard time communicating, just expressing themselves.
Right.
And sometimes play and inventive play is a really good way to draw your child out. And to
Right.
Get them-
That's the best way of education and learning is through play, I think. Yeah.
Definitely.
Right.
Well, I just want to thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It was lots of fun. Hopefully you'll learn things. And it was great. I thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Yeah. And also Cubit's Toys is on our website. That's bedhomeschool.com. They are one of our partners.
Right. And then they email, if they ever have any questions, it goes right to me. And you could ask me any questions, email me or, I think my email, or even if it's Cubit's, will go right to me and I can answer any questions that anybody has. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Cause I'm, that's a wonderful thing. I think every organization that we have partnered with, they're like, give out my email address, have people contact me. They want to be so personable. It's not like I'm this company, access me. It's been a treat to know that people are out there that really care about helping parents succeed. And
right now we're a small business, and we're three people. It's myself, my husband, and our adult son. And we put on a lot of different hats all the time. And but we love working together. We're a very close family, and we just do different parts. I mean, we're always switching and doing different things. But this is us, And so we really get involved with the people, and we really you know, try to help as much as we can, being that we're such a small business. Yeah. Right. Employees of three. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. It makes a difference when you know that there's somebody behind what they're selling and they pour themselves into it and it shows.
Right. So. I'll have people that will ask me a question and I'll go right back to them. I go, oh my gosh, you answered me so fast. And I thought, well, of course, you know, I mean, I would want that. So I'm hoping that, you know, I would hope to do that to you. That's what I would like, someone to answer me fast and everything.
Right, exactly.
Get the correct information. Yeah. So we try to, you know, have a personal relationship with our customers and, you know, so that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So do you have a mailing list that people can get onto? So as you come up with new things and.
Well, you know, they can go to the website and we change our website every so often and we make it ourselves. And so they could follow that. And we don't have a mailing list, but, you know, they can contact me and I'd be glad to help them with anything.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. We definitely
thank you, Peggy.
Time. And thank you all for joining us on our video, whether you have watched us live or if you have joined us on our recorded session, either a podcast or YouTube, we just appreciate you. And this is just an outreach of Sped Homeschool. We, again, are a nonprofit. And so your donations are tax deductible. If you want to support us, that would be greatly appreciated. This is our last interview for this month on summer learning. And so next month, we have a very special month coming up. It is our two-year anniversary for Sped Homeschool. And to celebrate that, we're having our very first annual Sped Homeschool Family Appreciation Month. And so all month, our blogs, as well as our interviews, are going to be with families like you. And they're going to share with us what it's like to homeschool their kids, their families. And so next week, we have our first guest, and her name is Liani Melendez. She is a YouTuber, and her YouTube station is called Living with Eve. Her youngest daughter, Eve, has Down syndrome, and she has four kids. And so she's going to be joining us and talking to us about why we choose to homeschool and how we got started. And so so we're excited to be able to share her story with you. She has some great pictures on our promo video of her daughter pointing at a Disney character. And it's so cute. all of her videos are really sweet, too, on YouTube. So I'm excited to introduce you to her and to just be able to chat with her about their homeschooling journey. But we just want you to know that you're not alone. And by sharing our stories, we encourage one another. And we also want the homeschooling community to understand what it's like to homeschool children who struggle, because a lot of them do not understand that. And so this is to create awareness. It's to encourage. And also it's to encourage those people who are sitting on the fence saying, I can't do this, because your story might change that. And so that's what we're hoping. So thank you for joining us on Sped Homeschool Conversations. We will see you again next week. Until then, keep the conversation going in our support group here on Facebook. And otherwise, we will see you next week right here, same time. Bye, everybody. Thanks.